And welcome to the second episode of my podcast. Kick straight off, I'm going to do my tea of the week. This week is lemon balm tea. By the way, excuse me if I sound all nasally. My allergies are playing up this week, so apologies. Lemon balm tea, you can just get the pure ingredients, like a kilogram's worth, off Amazon, buy it in bulk. I was using Kava tea, but it's getting a bit expensive. So I've gone for this one instead. It's good for your heart. I'm just reading off draxe.com. Usually pretty reliable. Lowers your triglyceride, you know what I mean, cholesterol things. Antibacterial, good for your gut flora. May have a function in terms of improving mood, concentration and sleep. And that's the main thing. So, it's good anti-inflammatory too. So, my tea of the week, lemon balm tea. So, get it off Amazon or eBay. It's pretty cheap, which is a good thing. So this week as well, I want to talk about one psychological term. I want to introduce to my podcast as well. So one food or tea or herb, and then one psychological jargon term, if you like. So this week, going for self-serving bias. Now, if people knew about self-serving bias, that the world would be a completely different place. So it's the ability to twist things in your favour, and you do it subconsciously, and people do it all the time. So the way I like to look at it is we've evolved not to be logical, not to be polite, not to make sense as such. We've evolved to kind of survive and pass on our DNA. So, and in that, we want to be, I'm not sure whether it's a kind of entitlement thing that makes us more likely to be ambitious and want to be the alpha male, or just wanting to be the alpha. We kind of twist things to make out we've done nothing wrong, but other people have. So, for example, you'll find people always have a special excuse or a special reason to justify doing something they've done wrong, whereas when they look at other people, they'll judge them often their whole character based on one action, and they won't even consider, you know, excuses or reasoning behind it. So for martial arts, for example, I remember going to judo in university and someone asking, you know, is this the best martial art? And the guy said yes, because everyone knows how to punch and kick. And then I remember going to Shogun Jiu-Jitsu, and I mentioned I did MMA, not in a bragging way, just said, oh, I literally said, don't judge me, but I'd done a bit of MMA, had a few fights. And he went on to a big spiel about how it's not realistic, there's too many rules, etc. You know, which is perhaps a fair criticism, but on the flip side, you don't do enough. Well, I won't do my own self-serving bias, but that's just an example. And I remember watching Michael Caine on Jonathan Ross, and he was talking about Get Carter, and he actually met the guy it was based on. It was like partially a true story. And the guy, the you know, less than pleasant guy that the whole thing was based on, said to Michael Caine, yeah, a load of rubbish that. Because the character in your movie didn't have a family to look after, so he was justifying his actions of murder or whatever, because he had a family to feed. That was his self-serving bias, if you like. So I hope that explains it. It's worth having a look into. Another good one, sorry, is the way people vote. So you'll find conservatives, people who are often people who are self-employed, whereas people who are into Labour and left-wing politics tend to be people who've been employed by a bigger company, not been treated so well, not been paid very well, and they'll often vote Labour or left-wing, whereas people who are self-employed, work really hard for what they've got, they'll see it from their own perspective, and they tend to vote Conservative or partially right-wing, if you like. So another example of self-serving bias. So look it up, probably haven't explained it that well, but that's my psychological term of the week. Moving on to other things, just talk about Kundalini yoga, something I've been doing now for a few months. I've done a lot of mad things in my life, pretty mad things, but I think this has got to be the maddest. I did a first session on YouTube. If you search Kundalini yoga, there's three guys dressed in white on a field doing a 35-minute session. did that session, did another 10-minute session afterwards on YouTube. And then after I did that, I had the maddest dream ever. I was in the corridor of my house and I was looking at the mirror and I had a massive hole in my crown and all light was coming out of my crown, and it was just the trippiest dream I've ever had. And then the next day, my friend who I hadn't spoken to for months messaged me saying he's going to a Kundalini class. He's starting up where he works on a Tuesday. And I literally hadn't spoken to him for months, and he's all of a sudden, anyway, it blew my mind a bit. And I went to a session and with the class that he organised, and you don't do anything special. There's no like amazing moves or secret power moves or anything. But at the end, you do your meditation. And probably 9 times out of 10, you do it. If you've been focused and kind of trying pushing yourself during the kriya or the movements, you have like a really bizarre experience. So I did it one time, and that kind of felt like there's a picture I've seen on the internet somewhere of a guy whose head kind of merges into the universe. Not explaining it too well, but I kind of had that feeling, my head kind of expanding, and it was kind of part of everything. And then the last time I went, I had a kind of feeling of my kind of energy or soul or whatever it was in my body, like a wispy thing. Yeah, sorry, I can't explain it too well. I kind of went out of my chest and my kind of stomach area and kind of gave my brain a hug. That's the best way I can describe it. It's probably a terrible way. My friend, he's not a loony, I don't think. He had an out-of-body experience last time as well. And my wife came with me to a workshop. Where we did 5 hours of it, and she also had a pretty trippy experience and started crying and things. So it's all about chakras and releasing the energy up your chakras, as far as I can tell. And if you've ever seen the medical symbol of a serpent or two serpents going upwards, that's meant to be apparently the representative of the Kundalini energy moving up the spine. It's a bit freaky, and if you look into some of the warnings around a Kundalini awakening and having to ground yourself and things up when the energy gets released, it's something you don't want to really get too deep into yourself. You do need to be part of a class. But yeah, it's got me believing in all the chakras and energy and all that kind of jazz. I'm going to watch a documentary now actually called On Yoga, the Architect of Peace. Say that again. On Yoga, the Architecture of Peace. So yeah, it's opened my mind a bit. And if you're interested, I'll put an article. I'll link to an article on my blog, actually. But yeah, I'll leave it there for now. I've got a few other things like ketogenic diet I've been doing. I've got a new job, and I don't know whether that's linked to my jaw tension and my sinus and allergies coming back. I'm not sure, but I'll leave that till next week. I'll stop boring you for now. And have a good week and take care. Bye-bye.